face to face, having received of your mercy. We are grateful as a people. Thank you for always being good. Thank you. The light of your countenance has caused us to rejoice. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who are thou, mountain, that is trying to stand like a challenge opposition? You are made plain. You are made plain. You are made plain. You are made plain. Yes. Yes. Like a mirage in the night, the challenge is no more. It's no more. It's no more. The difficulty fizzles out like a smoke. The glory of the Lord and His mighty presence is at work in and among us this morning. Divine interventions, thank you for stepping in. Thank you for coming through. Thank you for lifting the burdens. Thank you for breaking the yokes. Thank you. We are grateful. We are so thankful. Blessed be your name, Father. Glory to your name forever. Hallelujah. Let's turn around and welcome someone this morning. It's good to see you. Amen. Glory to God. All right. First Peter chapter 1. So we keep looking at tribe, understanding divine process. Glory to God. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your elders, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him you do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, what? Fervently. Verse 23. Being born again. Arguably, that's one of the few places where you find the phrase born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. So he says, you are born of a particular kind of seed, that which is not subject to failure. That's what he's saying. So he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. So where does it start from? He says, you were redeemed, not with corruptible things. So he's using a natural illustration to explain the spiritual truth. When you want to redeem someone from captivity or from slavery, you pay a measure that equals the worth of that individual to whoever that individual is bound to. In the sense, you also were redeemed in the same way, but differently, in the sense that gold and silver cannot be used to redeem you the way God wants you to be redeemed. He says you are redeemed with something that's far more precious, by the blood of Jesus. Say, I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when people say, I plead the blood, it depends on what you mean. If you're talking about the liquid, you're wrong. If you're talking about salvation, you are right. Hallelujah. I don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. You say, I plead the blood, that means you stand on the grounds upon which you are saved. But if you're thinking of one liquid somewhere, you know, that is red, something's wrong. Hallelujah. So, Pastor C talked about this time this morning. This time is not the blood of Jesus. Say amen. Say amen. It cannot even be. If we give you blood to drink, will you drink it? You know the taste of blood. Have you tried blood before? Real blood. Everybody can drink this time. But when we give real blood, you will know that you don't drink the blood that way. You drink the blood in your confessions. Hallelujah. By declaring what God has done. Say, God has redeemed me from every evil. All right. I'm going to jump because if I go verse by verse, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now look at verse 20. He said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So in other words, according to God's divine plan for salvation, God has already ordained that through the blood of Jesus, you and I will be redeemed, will be born again. How did that blood come into play? By the word that came out of the mouth of God. So right from the days of Abel, Abel believed, and Noah believed, and Enoch believed, and Abraham believed. He calls it the incorruptible, that's unfailing. So he didn't fail in Abel's days. He didn't fail in Enoch's day. He didn't fail in Abraham's day. He didn't fail in Isaac's day. He didn't fail in Jacob's day. So he says he calls it the incorruptible, that's unfailing. He says it lives and it abides forever. So the one declares, the one comes to fulfill what is declared, the word comes to the end of what is declared. He says you are born again of that word. Hallelujah. That means God's structure for your life is a zero failure plan. God's plan for your life is a zero failure as long as you play by the rules. Because there are rules in God's word. So limitation comes when we don't play according to the rules. This is how you were born. This is God's plan. Your kind has never been seen before until Christ rose from the dead. Men can say no to you, but that's not the end. The end is the victory that was given to you in Christ Jesus. Say amen. Hallelujah. So a lot of times when the process is on, we tend to drop the ball. And when you drop the ball, it's not because victory is not present. It's because the victory that's about to be manifest, you drop the ball before the time of manifestation because you are not aware of the facts. So the instructions we have in the epistles are meant to educate us, enlighten us concerning what is your conduct in everyday life. And that's one of the reasons why if you do Christianese in church and you don't live life as a believer outside, you will have consistent failures in life. It won't be because God is not faithful, but because you are not faithful to follow through the process. You'll be weak. You'll be weak. You are born again of the incorruptible. This word never fails. So even in the face of apparent defeat or failure, because of the structure, of the substance you are made of, you are still going to win even when it looks as though you are failing. That's the way God designed it to operate. Hallelujah. That's what God did. A man has prayed. He has fasted. He has confessed. You went to where you plan to go to and they said no. And you just dropped everything you did because a man, a mortal man, said no. It's like you just forgot the environment you carry. The victory that has been put in your account because somebody said, you know, it's very interesting. You fasted, you prayed, you confessed. You came to church, prophecy came. And then a man said no. And you took it as a final judgment. You know, there's a problem. So he says, if you faint, that is, if you give up in the day when things don't look like it, your strength is small. That means at that point in time, a stronger man will go outside to a corner and rejoice. You know, it's not yet over. He knows what he came for is not yet over. You go and rejoice. What does rejoicing do? You are acknowledging it's a very present help, even in the time of what? Trouble. That means God is not absent. That they said no doesn't mean it's the end. I had a story of a young man some years back. They just sacked him. They sacked some others too. So everybody that they sacked either cried, wailed, or sorrowed, or lamented among people. But he went up to the two stories above, which was a group of offices that was unoccupied. So, you know, people that saw him go up, they didn't hear anything for a while. They ran up. They thought he was going to jump because it was about the seventh story near there. So they saw him there in one of the empty rooms. He laid a letter on the floor, knelt down and began to worship. In 6 months after, he had his own company. And the same company called him for services. So somebody else took the letter. He said, my life has finished. I don't have to get that. Lead it up. Glory to God. Things are just starting. He is not done. He is not finished with me. A new chapter is about to open. These two believers, different outcomes. They have the same Bible, but they've never really followed James. Look at James chapter 1. And this is where the problem, because at your place of work, in your business, that's why, listen carefully to me. If anybody tells you in this grace message that we are teaching that conduct does not matter, they have deceived you. Let me say it in normal plans. It's lie. They have lied for you. because like I said, people actually think they are cheating other believers. You know, this is what they see of me in church. But when I'm outside, I'm a dragon. No. You see, you are robbing yourself of the opportunity to walk in the fullness of the plan that God has for you. Because whether you like it or not, you will repeat classes. You can be in class 1 forever. I never go forward because you have not learned the lesson, so you are not qualified to go forward in God's plan. Except you go by the back door, you can do back door. And whatever your eyes see. But if it's God's plan that you want to follow, and you must go to classes. You don't have a choice. You must learn. James 1, verse 17. James 1, verse 17. We've gone through this so quickly now because of time. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom his own very goodness neither shadow of turn. He's talking about Jesus. Of his own will, that's Father's will, he begat us with the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The incorruptible word. The word of reality. Say, my reality is victory. My reality is God's faithfulness. My reality is that God never leaves me nor forsakes me. Okay. So he says, of his own will begat us with all that we should be a kind, a sample. We should be examples of an unfailing lifestyle. So there is a crop of people upon the face of the earth whose lifestyle, based on what the substance on their inside, is different. They don't murmur when others are murmuring. They don't grumble when others are grumbling. They don't complain when others are complaining. They don't curse when others are cursing. On the contrary wise, they bless at all times. They don't do tit for tat. They do good for evil. It's a group of people that you should be a kind. So you are a sign to those in the world, on the earth, that there's something about that unique that's different. See what this is. Verse 19. Wherefore, because you are a kind, you are a special type. What is James doing? James is echoing what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. That's what Peter said. James is using a different word. Now he says, first fruits, or you are a kind of first fruits. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show. You should show forth. So there are things within you that needs to come out. Hallelujah. See, there's meekness within me. There's temperance within me. There's goodness within me. There's patience within me. There's humility within me. It says those things are meant to show forth. So God wants people to see the kind of investment he placed within you when he calls you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now within that showing forth is a victory that God has already packaged to every single new creation, because God is no respecter of persons. He's not. You were called to out of darkness into what is marvelous light. Go back to James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, that's the anger of man. So it's talking about impetuous response. You are so quick to respond to every situation negatively. So it says be slow. It says, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So the end result is God's righteousness, the right action of God in that particular situation, that particular issue. Now it says something, it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of one nothingness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So again, many times as you're growing, in Peter's words, after you have suffered a while, when you're growing, there will be contention between what you think you should do and what the word instructs you to do. You even think there are situations where there are exceptions to what the word of God says. But it says, with meekness you receive. That means you submit yourself to the authority of the word you are hearing. And you tell yourself, this is God's counsel in this situation. So God says not to talk. God says not to insult. God says not to fight my own cause. That's not popular today. It's not popular today. It says you receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Look at the next verse. He says, but be ye what? Doers. He's saying the same thing. To receive with meekness is to be a doer. That's how to be a doer. If you're receiving with meekness, it means you've taken the counsel of God above every other counsel. And that's one of the reasons why the easiest and the fastest way to be led by the Spirit is to do the word of God. Tell anybody, do the word of God. Act on the word of God. Now, the word of God has been given to you and you have been instructed. You have not acted, but you're asking for the leading of the Spirit. You will not do the leading of the Spirit. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you will act on the leading to give money to somebody that rejected you one time? It's quiet in this church. You even hear the leading. If he even comes and get behind me, Satan, I bind you. I cast you. He cannot be God, no. Somebody would despitefully cheat you at the office
who needs help can't come to you because of what they've done. But they've talked to one or two people. You are in position. The Bible actually says that you should take something and give to that person. Yeah, like, meanwhile, what you are really thinking is that, God is finally showing him, my God is vindicating me. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Because you are not ready to act, because now, listen, even what the word says, you're not ready to do. And acting on the word is building up yourself. That means you're getting stronger in your faith walk, the faith that walks by love. So you're getting stronger. You're having more stamina. You are able to stand the offenses people will throw your way as you are processing your faith. That's what's happening. You're building up your internal muscles. Your character is forming. The character of Christ in you is now forming. That's what's going on. So these are written for your benefit. Like when we're in primary school, they give us a times table, 2 times 2. Then they will ask you, by next, this is Friday, homework. On Monday, they will ask you, come and recite. The child is waiting, we came. They don't beat again today. In my days, they used to beat very well. So, if nothing else drives you to memorize it, so by the time you come on Monday, memorize three times something table and 4 times something table before you come to class. If nothing else, the cane or Mr. Hussein will make you memorize it, yes. Because Mr. Hussein, in my primary school, was a sadist. Yes, I'm convinced. I'm persuaded. Yes, because it's not only when you offend that you receive cane. Even when he's greeting you, he's with cane. How can somebody come to class? Oh, yeah, come. How are you? And I'm not offended. Is that not sadistic? I've forgotten. I can't even forget his name. And this is primary four. I cannot forget. Because that's how you even greet. That's a sadist. So if Mr. Jose is one teaching you, if you fall asleep, you wake up in your dream. 3 times 1, 3 times, you will wake up because the fear of the king of Mr. Jose will make you like. But the truth is that they are building blocks in the progress you are making. By the time it's time to do the exam, you'll see the progress you're making, isn't it? The same thing happens when it comes to life. God will not give you exams. Life will set exams before you. God has already vouched that he knows what he has put within you. But what he has put, you've not put it to work. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is what? The victory that overcomes the world, even one. So what God put in you is sufficient. You don't need extra. You just now need to play out what is inside by acting on the word. So listen carefully. When we tell you, forgive that brother or sister, and you hold on a second longer, you're failing glasses. Because if you cannot forgive in the house, you will not forgive outside. You won't forgive outside. If you cannot forgive in the house, among being saints, you won't forgive outside. And you notice the pattern of life of the saints. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers, deceiving your own selves. That's where the problem is. Deceiving your own selves. So to receive with meekness means to do the word. That means you elevate the counsel of God above every other counsel. Now, you are not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Who tell you? Show him. Deal with him. Punish him. Report him. Sit for that. My brethren, count it all. Count it all. And Jesus taught the same principle. Put your hand there. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus is talking to Jews. And he was exposing certain kingdom secrets. He was talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to born-again Christians. He was talking about fundamental principles that other patriarchs have already lived by. That's what he was saying. Look at Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 11. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 11. Jesus is teaching. He says, blessed are ye when men shall, one, revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of, one, evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, of course, arguably, you can say this is for the cause of the gospel. But listen carefully. It can also be for the cause of your faith. Because if you are working in an office where others are cheating and they are stealing, and you choose not to participate, and you're not participating can expose them, they will slander you. I mean, even upon them. Okay? So, for my sake, that means because of your faith. You refuse to participate. So, it says this can happen and will happen. So, you shouldn't be shocked that men are going against you for being a believer. The Bible says you expect it. It means they join the bandwagon. It says you should expect it. So look at what you're meant to do. Look at verse 12. choice. Verse 12. And be, so it's not small laughter. Rejoice and be, understand the process has started. Now see that process through to the very end. A process has started because notice what it says. It says, for great is your reward. The word heaven there, don't be thinking when Jesus comes, finally, he will reward me. That's what he's talking about. The word heaven there means the unseen. So what they cannot see is the reward. You are seeing Christ. They can't see Christ. Because of Christ, you are refusing to compromise. And that the reward will come from that unseen realm will manifest in this time frame for your benefit. So you notice this is always rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they what? The prophets which were before you. The prophets are also the patriarchs which were before you. So there are people who have gone ahead, and you should look at their faith. You should look at what they passed through. Look at how they triumphed because they saw Christ. They saw Christ. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you with me this morning? Okay. Remember the reason why we're looking at some of the patriarchs is because of what we saw in Romans chapter 15 verse 4. Let's just read Romans 15 verse 4 for the sake of those who may just be joining us. Romans 15 verse 4, we'll come back to Hebrews. Romans 15 verse 4. For whatever things were written ahead of time, they were written for what? Our learning. Say, we are meant to learn from the experiences of the patriarchs. What are we meant to learn? Their faith. Their faith. So their moral stand was because of their faith. Their moral stand was not because they were moral. It was because of their faith. Faith was their morality. That's important for you to understand. Because every single one of the patriarchs, they had one fault or the other. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, how many of you have two wives? Don't raise your hand. Hallelujah. So, Father Abraham had, did I say two wives? Yes, he had two wives and several concubines. Uncle David. Pastor, he said, so let us give it. How many wives? So let us. Whatsoever things were written ahead of time, we're written for what? Our learning. That we through consistency, that we can see, and the comfort that brings of the scriptures, may have hope. That means we may have an expectation. We may have an expectation. So there's an expectation as you read through. Where did this life end? It started this way, it ended this way. I may have what? Hope. So there was a conclusion to their faith. So look at Hebrews in chapter 11. I'm going to read from, let's look at Moses. Look at the testimony of Moses written by the writer of Hebrews. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, or refused to be called the prince of Egypt. So he was the crown prince of Egypt. He refused to be called the prince of Egypt. He says, choosing rather, the word choose means to weigh options and to make a choice. So you weighed an option. It was either this or that. So notice what he did. He weighed the option, and then what did he conclude? It was better to suffer affliction with the people of God. Who is he calling people of God? Those who were in slavery. And he still saw them in the light of the promise of God to Abraham, that these are the people of God. Now you see, let's put this. He says, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? The pleasures of sin for a season. What for a season means? The fleeting pleasure of sin. Let me say it again. Again, you can be in an office, an environment, and I'm trying to apply this to practical areas of life. You can be in an environment where all you need to do is play along. Everybody in your office plays that way. Now, what you will enjoy, the kind of house you now live in, the kind of furniture you buy, the kind of car you now drive, the kind of neighborhood you now live in, they're all temporal. What you are enjoying now is what you can see. What you are losing, you are not wealth. And that's where the problem is. So that means there's some things that God has already planned. You see, anybody who is walking with God, who is walking by faith, and who is going through divine process, let me tell you something that happens. They will have all the material blessings, but they will never be affected by them. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Have you met people who are truly wealthy before? By hard work. Have you met them before? Okay. I've met them in car parks. I met them at airports. I've noticed something consistent. None of them dresses flashy. They don't. That is, if you don't know them, you walk past them. They will serve you. They won't stop by so you can pass. But you, first 10 million, three people are pushing your trolley on your back. Because now you have come, because everybody has to now clear their question. Can't you see? Can't you pass somewhere else? Can't you see? They give you small appointments. Just small appointment. These people are pushing their shopping. Someone was talking to you about a particular minister. People were surprised to see money queue at ShopRite. I said, why are you surprised? He drives himself most of the time. He goes to meetings with his pastors under him and introduces them as his associates. He's not just a preacher, he's a Christian. They are preachers and they are Christian preachers. That's a Christian. You hear what I just said?
Right.
He's a Christian. He's today that we have to tell people, please be a Christian. Both in church and outside of church, be a Christian. See, today we have to say things like that to people. It didn't used to happen before. When we see you before, we know you're a Christian because of the way you, even the clothes you're wearing and the way you're carrying your Bible. But today now, we have to look very well. And then we now have to depend on your conduct to see whether you're really a Christian. So you will have the material blessing of what people are dying for, but you will need to die for it. He will give you a banana, but he will give you his own way. And that's why each of the patriarchs were wealthy, but they were sort of distanced from material comfort because they had a greater esteem for the riches of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray your eyes be open this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not be removed by what, you see, social media is constantly feeding us images of what success is until we no longer know what success is. Joseph was in Potiphar's house and he was a prosperous man. And that's the first time the Bible uses the word prosperity. Genesis 37, he was in Potiphar's house as a slave and he was a prosperous man. And God caused all he did to prosper. Everything he did to prosper. He had no property, no belonging. But he had something worth more than belongings. That eventually took him out of prison to the palace. He was a prosperous man. Even Potiphar knew that since you came, everything that you have touched in my house has prospered. Potiphar was in position, but Potiphar didn't have prosperity. We need to understand this principle about God. That is, that a man does not have the physical external existence doesn't mean on the inside. Christ within is not greater than everything on the outside. And we have to stop running up and down, helter-skelter here and there, looking for what is not lost. And that's what causes people to compromise their standards in our day. When you don't want to go through process. Look at what the Bible says about Moses again. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin for a season. That is momentary. Something fleeting. It says esteeming. So I was able to do it. He estimated the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What is he calling reproach? To be despised for your faith. To be ignored because of the unseen that you are believing in. He esteemed. So the reason why Moses could live the palace life, which was pleasurable, as a crown prince, was because he saw that, how can I try to live up to the standard of an earthly king when an heavenly king is calling me? Moses' estimation was different. And here's what people thought. If you read Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, you will think Moses ran because the king was after him. But look at what the Bible says here. See what it says. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing. I don't know why King James put it that way. Not because he was afraid of the wrath of the king. You know, it's very interesting. The way it was written there in Genesis 1 and 2 is even from the way it's written, isn't it? It says he forsook because of what he saw. He didn't run because he was afraid. If you read Genesis 2, what does it look like? Moses ran away because, look at it. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. The reason why he left all behind was because he was seeing he that was invincible. He that is yet to come. Okay? Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So, everyone on that, this is Moses' testimony that is narrated to us in Hebrews chapter 11. Others are narrated in different portions of the book of Psalms. So let us see how it was faith that made them, so to say, conform to certain culture, the culture of faith, that their conduct was a little different from everybody around them. Look at Genesis 26. Let me show you something. We saw Psalm 105 last week. But let's look at Genesis. Okay, if you have not read Genesis this year, I'm helping you. You should be clapping for me so that people like Abraham and Noah, some of you now will not allow you to enter the ark because you have not read Genesis for a long time. Are you in Genesis? Okay, 26. Okay, I'm tempted to go earlier, but let's just jump 26 because of our time. Amen. And there was a famine in the land. Genesis 26 from verse 1. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So there was a famine in the days of Abraham. There was actually a famine in the days of Abraham. So Abraham had an experience. And in that experience, Abraham went down to Egypt because of the famine. So hardship economic situation can motivate people. So look at what happened to Isaac here. And there was a famine in land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of Philistines, altogether. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. It's interesting language of scriptures because here he uses Egypt to represent sin and the world, scripturally speaking. He says, so don't go down to the world because of the pressure of the famine. Look at what it says. It says, I trust God that you understand this morning. He's using prophetic language. See what it says. It says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee, and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. That means Abraham believed me. Abraham believed God, and it was what? Counted to him for righteousness. So, Abraham obeyed my, and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Question. Is Gerar the land he was meant to dwell in? The answer is yes and no. What was the land? The land was what God said. Pay attention. Don't go down to Egypt. What does Egypt represent? The world and sin and idolatry. What you do? Dwell in this land. What land? Dwell in the land described by my word. Which land did Abraham dwell in? Not Canaan. Which land? What God said. Dwell in this land. Dwell in what I said. Hallelujah. Dwell in this land. That's what God said. So in other words, trust my word. Stay with me. And I'll prove myself. What does going down to Egypt mean? Compromise. You are about to forsake the love of your God. You're about to compromise. Don't do that. Stay here. Stay here doesn't mean just, of course, Isaac physically stayed where he was, but what made Isaac stay? Because remember, there was a famine. That means the reason why he wanted to go to Egypt in the first place was because Egypt had all, physically speaking now, but Egypt represented a lifestyle. It portrayed pleasures of the world and sin and idolatry. So God says, don't go into idolatry. Stay here. Don't let economic conditions drive you out. So, what will cause you to prosper is not a function of the economic condition of your location. What causes prosperity is what? Whatever God says to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's important when you say that, don't go. Don't go. Stay here. And look at what happened next. I'm going to jump because of our time. I don't want to go through. Because Isaac repeated what happened with his father Abraham. So, fathers, be careful. Of what you see play out. Before your children, be careful. It's very important that you don't play out. There are certain things that play out repeatedly because of what has already played out before. So I don't want to go through that because the same thing that happened with Abraham and Sarah now happened with what? Isaac and Rebecca. And like I always say, it's not a coincidence. Abraham, fine wife. Isaac too, fine wife. Guess what? Jacob, Tunko. I didn't say so, you said so. Yeah. Verse 12. So Isaac sold where? In that land. And received what? In the same year, an hundredfold. And who blessed him? Who blessed him? Now, again, forget about the fact that this particular verse has been bastardized. But here's what I want to say. Which land did Isaac sow in? Physically, it was where he was. But where was he sowing spiritually? In what God said. He's acted on the word. God says, stay here. Now, we'll discover later that one of the things that happened was that his eyes were open and he began to do irrigation, which was the technology above that was not common in these days. And Isaac was able to overcome. Now, the ground was burning seed, so there couldn't be harvest. But Isaac's seed, everything he sowed, he reaped the hundredfold results. That's what it means he was able to the Lord bless him. Now, where did Isaac sow? He sowed into what God said in that particular time. And God blessed him. But look at what happened after that. See what happened next. Here's what I want to see. Look at Isaac's conduct. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds in a place where there was famine. Great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us. That's the king of Gerar. I said, go from us, for you are mightier than we are. So envy began, envy started. He says, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham and had called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the headmen of Gerar, they strove with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well what? Esek, because they strove with him. The word Esek means strife or contention. So there was contention. Look at the next verse. And they dig another well, and they strove for that also, and called the name of it what? Sitna. That means hatred. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it what? Rehoboth. For he said, for now the Lord has won, made room for us, and we shall be fruitful. Questions. Why didn't they strive with him again the third time? Something must have occurred to them. It is not water in the land. It is water in Isaac. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Okay, why can't they be digging by themselves? It's because there's something about this man that's so blessed. In fact, if you go through the text, you discover that through divination, they discovered that this man is prospering supernaturally. It's not natural. And why was he prospering? Because of what God said to him. The same way God spoke to Abraham, God spoke to him as he was acting on that instruction, things were working. The first time, no contest. Why was there no contest? He didn't get into strife. He walked away. Second time, hatred. He didn't get into hatred. He walked away. Those are figures to speak to show how Isaac avoided strife, avoided hatred. Did a third time, God made room for him. Then the people came and they submitted and said, you know, we know that God has blessed you. Just make a covenant with us. We don't want to fight you. Anything you do is fine. You are free now to do whatever. The next thing that happened was that while that was going on, is people digged another land and they found water again another time. So, two herdsmen, the herdsmen of people of Gerar, herdsmen of Isaac, the ones of Isaac kept digging, kept finding water. This one's dog, they found no water. Somebody says why? There was famine in the land. So where is Isaac finding water from? The word that God said to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen carefully now. Isaac was walking away from strife, walking away from hatred, just trusting God. Great peace have they that love thy law, for nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119 verse 165. Great peace. That means you are now used to God's system. When he says, let go. When he says, don't fight. When he says, don't insist on your right. Let me be the one that will vindicate. The process is going on the first time, the second time, the third time. What was happening? God was showing himself strong because Isaac stood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now again, why were these things written as examples? To let us see how, as men show and demonstrate their faith in God, God was always stepping in. There was no need to fight. Genesis chapter 13, Abraham and Lot. Lot went with Abraham. Abraham was the one who had the covenant. Lot went with him. And the person that went with him now increased because he accompanied somebody who is blessed. And after a while, his own herdsmen began to fight with Abraham's herdmen. Abraham is his uncle. So opportunity came for offense to come. So Abraham went to him and said, instead of there to be offense, who is boss? No need. The land is before you. Pick anywhere you want. Now, in our modern language, who should pick first? Who should pick first? That's not how blessed men do. Because it is not how good the land is. It's how good your God is. He said, pick. You pick anywhere. Then something happened. Lot lifted up his eyes and used the order of the senses to pick. And picked the place close to Sodom and Gomorrah. The minute he said that, you can just pick the best place you want. Anywhere, you want. Anywhere I am is okay with me. And then the minute Lot picked. Because Abraham yielded in love. Don't let us fight. Pick anywhere you want. The minute Lot left, God spoke to Abraham. Now look all around you. Lift up your eyes now and see. Everywhere you see, I've given up to you. Because he walked away from what? Strife. I'm saying this because the word of God is practicable in our daily lives. It is. Even when you're justly treated, it is. It's practicable in our daily lives. It's practicable. That's why Christian conduct is something you don't bring to church alone. It's something you display at the office. You display among your family members. They must know you're different. They must know your absolute trust. You see, the reason why you feel you're being cheated, you will be cheated, but you think you are successfully cheated because you have taken your focus off the one who spoke to you. Some years back, former venue, we were almost embarrassed. I've forgotten what was with me that time. The landlord died, and then the daughter came from the U.S. and took over. And I was a misunderstanding about payment. So she took us to the police. Well, before she took over, she locked the church. So I came morning. I wanted to enter the office. I couldn't get to the office. She locked the door. So I wanted to talk to her. She refused to speak to me. Now she came with one young guy from the U.S. And I was still from balcony. I was reading down insults. I was downstairs. I didn't answer a word. So I sent my assistant that, call our lawyer. Called lawyer. Lawyer was, we called the woman's lawyer. who was not even aware she was in town. And she took the law into her hands and locked the door. And what was the contention? She said that we've been owing rent for 3 years. She reported to the police that we're owing for 3 years, we won't take over our father's property, and that we have not paid. So I didn't say anything. We tried to talk to her, she didn't listen. But when we got to the police, we brought out the receipts of payments. So we asked her, how are we owing? Said she's seen for the first time. I said, but I wanted to talk to you, you didn't listen. Because I've never dealt with you, I've only dealt with your dad. And all this time she had written insults. So after, at the police station, I just walked away. The police didn't stop, I just walked out. I just left. So my sister sitting there was like, if I remember, one of our members said, Pastor, he insulted the anointed. Ha! Pastor, we will show her that God has called you. Hey! He insulted you there. I said, no, don't say it. Just let that happen. I said, because the interesting thing is that what she did, she couldn't do it where she was coming from. It was legal. But because she felt it was here, she could do just anything. I said, don't say anything. She insulted, she said anything. She started from the top, said, we will never use all kinds of things. So I was like, Pastor, what you go? I said, I will not do anything. I will not do anything. The Bible talks about how are you meant to react? Rejoice. That's all. The first part was won. These are the receipts. How have we not paid? So, madam, have you seen it? No. Say, all the money you're asking for in your father's account. We have never met you before. I don't know you. So all the money that we pay, this is at the receipts. Say, but I don't have access to your account. How is that my business? I said, but you have already lied. And at that time, she went on Facebook through a friend to also slander me. All those ones attacked to take over property. So all this was going on. And she didn't want to, so they told her to open. So they opened the front door. The back door that we had access, she still locked it. She didn't do anything. I just went and just give her thanks. I don't know what happened overnight. I still don't know what to do. And God won't tell me. He just said, knock on the door, sir. The woman I tried to see, and I sent people to police, go and talk to her, she didn't listen. Said, she wants to see you. She wants to see me. My mind was thinking, I hope there's no problem. And I said, well, the office just knelt down. I said, It took a while, it took effort for me not to open my mouth. So I'm very, very sorry. I'm a small child. I don't want to fight. It's not my fault. It's just so. It's all a misunderstanding. I'm very, very sorry. I said, madam, it's all right. Yes, sir. All I know with myself is that this baptized one, your dad is. I said, Pastor, what happened? I said, I don't know too. When you see God ask him what happened. But something happened in 24 hours to her. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. God still does it. But if you try to avail by yourself, you will fail, hopefully. Christ was reviled. He reviled not again. You know what that means? When he was accused, he didn't. When he was dealt with, he did not threaten. He did not. Because he's the only one that can vindicate you. That's why I said, beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place for wrath. Don't try. Don't even try. You will do flesh. And flesh never wins. Hallelujah. Flesh never wins. Now, what they meant it for was, for after a while, we went to the police, everything was sorted temporarily. They gave us a period of time for us to leave. There was a pen. If we didn't leave that place, we won't come here. And if you know that place and here, you can't come here. You cannot come here. How many of you were there? So here and there. Someone said, here it is. Now, yes. So if you are not following God's agenda, then what you do, you get offended. This is the work of the devil. It's the devil. Brethren, let us pray. Everybody trying to chase us, it's not your house. It's not your property. I don't understand. It's not your property. What should you be praying about? There's something that the Father has prepared that you are not seeing, that you need to see. Open my eyes to see what you have prepared. It's what a believer should pray. Not that all my enemies, and you are thinking the woman, you are thinking the landlord, you are thinking, that's what you are. No. Beloved, avenge not yourselves. But rather give room for God. Vengeance is mine. I will what? I will repay. The same Lord that despised Abraham. It was Abraham that was Lord's savior. A short while after. To pray that he will be delivered from his own choices. Abraham never entered that. That's what walking. So Abraham actually walking up. You know, God said, hey, you see small boy. That I brought from that place. You two are not doing anger. You can challenge me. Your admin are not contending. You don't even know I'm your uncle again. I was there when you were wearing pampers. You're now, no, he said, no, you choose, don't worry. Because a blessed man doesn't contend for material things. We contend for the gospel. Not for material things. No, 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 no. That's beneath us. If you know Moses' what and what Moses left behind, in today's estimation, you know what it will mean? Mansions, land, property, chariots. That's Bugatti. Latest Ferrari that belong to him. To go and become a shepherd, bastard of wilderness, because he esteemed the riches of Christ greater. Hallelujah. Now imagine doing all that. You know, you'll be lying down on a couch. One baby's putting grips in your mouth here. Another's cleaning your mouth and giving you a cup of water here. Meanwhile, you are a deliverer. According to God's plan. Imagine forsaking that inheritance and having no mention in the lineage of Christ to having a mention in Christ's image. Can you see? You cannot compare. You can't compare it. And that's what materialism does to people. Blinds them. Blinds them to God's eternal plan and purpose. No. The riches of Christ, far greater. Say the riches of Christ, far greater. Far greater. Far greater. No. That's why every step we take, it must be by the leading of God. Because you have the Spirit of Christ within you. That's why I tell everyone who plans to relocate, pray. Be very sure. Number two, remember, never forget that if God tells you to go, ministry is involved. Please, don't miss it though. Ministry is involved. So if you are not fervent with ministry, you will go into oblivion. Everybody that God allows to go, ministry is always involved. God doesn't just do, you just live because of economic. No. Not every good plan is God's plan. You have to be careful. Mind somebody telling me now that, you know, there's a building waiting for me in the U.S. Come and do ministry when I've not heard anything. They won't hear from you again. No, no. Not everything good is God. You have to be careful about that. Abraham knew. Told Lot, you can go. You can go. One day, Abraham called all his sons, the concubines, all of them, he called them. Isaac was watching. He took his belongings, began to give the sons. Genesis 25. He called the first son, gave property, car, house, property, life, gave everything. And the Bible now says, after he gave them, he released them to go. He now gave all he had. What do you have again? To Isaac. What did he have? The covenant. The blessing. That makes rich and has no sorrow. He now give that to the son so that nobody will contend with him. Send all of them to go. He won't give to them. As he was watching, he's finishing. On Tolo. What's going on here? He's finishing. Father said, what's like? Because he couldn't tell me, when I left Iran, I left with nothing. I left hearing a voice. And look at what I've become. The same principle. Jacob crossed a stream to Laban. When he was crossing back, it was two bands. Because he obeyed God's voice. It's an inheritance. It's an inheritance. I never fails. I'm just saying, because some people think that God doesn't bless us materially. He does. In obeying God, there's increase. I'm telling you categorically, in obeying God, there's increase. There will be increase. But you see, in the place of obeying, the suffering part is dealing with you to let go of certain things. As you are being trained that way, by the time the increase comes, you are not attached to anything material again. You know what excites you is the next phase of God's plan. Because that's what God does. That's the training. He wants you to have things, but he doesn't want things to have you. The other one is, first one is prosperity, having things. The other one is covetousness, when things have you. He wants to remain Lord always in your life. So when things come, you'll be like that woman that went to go and on top of Sheraton. Book the room, refuse to come down. Over how much? Hallelujah. Amen. So he called Isaac and gave him something that the others did not have. He gave him the inheritance, the blessing. He blessed him. And Isaac went with that. And that understanding is why Isaac is not content when they were fighting with him over water. I said, is it this one? No. The water is not here. The water is wherever I go. That's why every time Isaac went to a place, water, the people had to come up with, how are you digging? We dug also, we didn't see anything. Said, no, the water is not on the ground. The water is inside. He proved it. But there was a process. Isaac had to learn. Trust God so much that when people take things from you, they're not taking God from you. Did you hear what I said? They're not taking God from you. I remember that on campus. My campus days were interesting. Finances were an issue a lot of times. My confession did not fail. I wake up morning singing of the future that I saw. So many songs came out of lack. Because that's the only way you could get through the day sometimes. When there was nothing. You could get through the day only because you had a song to sing. I shared with us for many times that I also learned the leading of the Spirit that if I start praying in the morning, I'm worshiping God. And the psalm starts coming. And the psalm is a psalm of comfort. Though I have nothing. You are ever with me. You provide for me. I know that the auntie I want to go and see is going to disappoint. I already know. So the shock absorber is already coming. So by the time I get there, I'm not wailing or crying because he has already warned me in advance with a psalm that Omo Pepe Apele. All shall be well. Don't worry. I learned that way so that I'm not moved by sight again. Hallelujah. I'm not mad. So if you make a promise, naturally men disappoint. Not sometimes because they want to, because it just happens. But when your hope is in God, the channel changes, but the source never fails. Hallelujah. The channel changes, but the source never fails. That's why part of your test is this. When men promise you, they may mean well, but they are men. There's only one promise keeper. He's the eternal one. He has never failed. He has kept his promise. He has fulfilled it. Say amen. That's why, don't forget, when men fail, don't get offended. If you get offended, you will lose out on the process. At that point in time, start rejoicing. You promised me so and so. You know, like I said, if you are going to get married, somebody promises you, know you are spending money. What you do, start rejoicing. Start giving God thanks. So that the channel has never, the source never fails. It can use another channel. It doesn't have to. So instead of getting angry with men, sister, talk, man. Believers of nowadays, that's how she promised me 3,000 she didn't give me. Yeah, some people, you know, believers these days, you wonder, you are lamenting. You don't even know what that talk is going through. She was planning on a salary, now salary suspended for 3 months or 4 months. Because she didn't come and tell you. You assumed that she was being wicked. When she didn't come through, you should have gone back to the father and praised him. Because the channel may change, but the source never changes, never fails. That's how a sound believer behaves. Glory to God. Lift your hands this morning and give him thanks. Is the teaching mixed with exhortation to prepare our hearts for the days ahead? Because the days ahead, yes, we will need to stand upon God's word like never before. Somebody's promise may fail. Where you're expecting it to come from may not work out that way. It doesn't mean the plan is off. It doesn't mean God has failed. It doesn't mean it will not come to another way. It's because you are looking at just one way. And there are other ways that God can use and will use if you keep your eyes focused on Him. Keep your eyes focused on Him. He works in ways that many times we cannot see. He will make a way for you. He will make a way for you. Make a way for you. And sometimes the no of men is the yes of God. It is God's way of saying yes to you when men say no to you. Because when they said no to you, you thought God had failed. And that was God saying, but I just gave you the answer you were looking for. I wanted you to go another direction. You didn't listen to what I was saying. I influenced this person to say no so that you can go the direction I want you to really go. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He guides us always. Leads us by the right path. No. There's no failure for he that is in Christ Jesus. Whatever is born of God, already overcomes. This is the victory. 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 This is the victory that overcomes. Even our faith overcomes. Nothing on the earth can tamper with our faith. Nothing on the earth can stand against our faith. Nothing on the earth can defeat our faith. Our faith is intact. What he has said to do, he will do. I will accomplish. He has a track record of keeping his work. He has a track record. He has never failed once. All the preachers will tell you has never failed once. It will come through big. It will come through strong. It will come through mightily for you. No. No, it won't fail you. It won't fail you. It won't abandon you. What you have believed for, you will see the manifestation of it. It delights in you. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. So there is no position, no standing that you require that he has not given to you. Thank him this morning. You are faithful. You are good. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you, Father. And in our hearts, we make the necessary adjustments. Through faith and patience, we obtain all that you have spoken to us about. In this life, we are so blessed to have you as our Father, as the one that leads us, as a good shepherd. You lead us by the pathways that we're meant to walk. So we're not moved by the noise in the environment. We're moved by the quietness within. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing offends us. Nothing offends us. Our faith walk is intact. Our love walk is intact. Oh, we stand steadfast through to the very end, because victory is sure for us. We give you praise, Father. Blessed be your name.